It's so good to be able to be here with you today. You ever go to school and your teacher didn't show up and there was a substitute teacher? But did you ever have the substitute teacher call in sick and then they had to get a substitute? That would be me today. So with all that was going on with the pertussis and all that entailed, Friday was a busy day with Eric and Amanda asking, because I was going to be leading the music, and Eric and Amanda asking, are you going to be sending the songs? Well, we're kind of going through this and not sure where we're going with this, and God knew, though. I had Pastor Dave give me a call last night, trying to encourage me as I was preparing for speaking today. And he said, just remember, God used a donkey in the Old Testament to speak to Balaam. And I said, I don't know if that's much encouragement, Pastor, but we had a good laugh about that. And it is a privilege to be able to speak before you today. And again, as the title of my message is, To God Be the Glory, that is what I'm doing here, is just to honor God and to give Him the glory. What this message is a hybrid of something I preached when I was in Liberia a year and a half ago. And who would know that God would have it for us today? But turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. We'll be reading quite a few verses there, but as an intro, I wanted to bring us back to, for the past few weeks, we have been learning about the ordinances commanded by God for us as Christians so we can understand them and practice them. These being baptism and the Lord's Supper, or communion as we call it. We do these because this is what God tells us to do, but we also do this because it points others to God. They assign the greatness to God that is deserved, these ordinances do. First of all, through baptism, we publicly proclaim that we are a child of the King. We are no longer dead in our sins, but alive through Christ Jesus our Lord. And next, we continually remember what Christ did for us. Look in front here, the communion table. See what that says on there. It says, this do in remembrance of me. This is not referring to the musicians or the singers that were up here. This isn't referring to the man speaking before you today. This is referring to God Himself. It rightly refers to remembering God, more specifically, as modeled in the Bible, Jesus proclaimed this to His disciples at the Last Supper. This is where the pronoun of me describes where the remembrance is due. Paul again states this in 1 Corinthians 11, referring to Christ's command to the disciples and the church at Corinth as Paul models the Lord's Supper for us. Paul states, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. With those words, I want to take you back to before the Lord's Supper. Jesus is at the end of His earthly ministry, and there remain some things that God still had for Him to do. The accomplishment of Jesus' ministry on earth wasn't complete yet. It's before His arrest. It's before the supper in the upper room where He uttered those words, and before His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The disciples see the miracles He is performing, and they continue to follow Him and they learn from Him. With that being said, I want to read our text today. It's a familiar passage, and I want you to think of this as you would a biographical narrative. That's what John is writing here. He wants us to see this as it happened in the context of time that it did happen. God's word states, John 11, we're going to be reading 44 verses. Now, I didn't just pick a long passage to fill time. This is what I spoke on in Liberia as well. But we're going to read John 11, verses 1 through 44. This is about the death of Lazarus. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, as we pray to you now, even as your son prayed to you, Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we see the example of your son being equal with you. We see the example of him faithfully following you and doing what you commanded him. And Lord, we see the unbelievers shown the glory of God, that you might be given the glory that is due you. Lord, may you do that today through your message, through your words. And Lord, I pray that you would have our hearts prepared to receive them. In Jesus' name, amen. So three things from today's passage that we know. These are just factual accounts of what we know from this passage. Number one, Jesus loved Lazarus. Verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus loved Lazarus. It's just a fact. Number 2, Martha and Mary knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. And I know I'm getting caught in the weeds here a little bit. I want you to understand why. Jesus loved Lazarus. John tells us that. Martha and Mary understood this. They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. Verse 3 of chapter 11. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. It was a statement of fact. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But one of the things that I want you to think about is, it was because he loved Lazarus so much that he delayed his return. We're going to look at that a little bit more. See verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. You may ask, how is that loving? How is Jesus being loving to Martha and Mary and Lazarus, whom he loved, by staying for 2 more days? Lazarus is sick. Sick unto death, that's the message that he got. But Jesus decides to stay for 2 more days. Now consider, okay, Lazarus is sick. The sisters send word to Jesus. Today we just text somebody, pull out our phone and we send them, boy, I'm not feeling well, I won't be at church. And we may get that last minute. You walk in the door, oh, I guess they're not going to be here, they're sick. They didn't have that technology back then, obviously. Messenger had to carry this message. The messenger may take a day or so to get to Jesus and give him the message based on where Jesus is located in relation to where Lazarus was. By the time Jesus even gets his message, Lazarus may be dead. We don't know. The Bible doesn't make this clear, but Jesus wants to make sure that the message of Lazarus is clear. Which is the third thing that we know from this passage. Jesus knew that Lazarus' death was for the glory of God. Verse 4 of our text says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So these are just facts that we see. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were loved by Jesus. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus loved, and Jesus knew that this was for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it. And that's the verse I want to rest on today. This verse shows us the purpose for Lazarus being sick unto death. I'd like to put this into context with Jesus' life and earthly ministry. Now, Jesus is returning to Bethany, which is near Jerusalem. It says a couple miles off. His earthly ministry is nearing the end. In the next chapter of the book of John, we'll see the start of the passion of Christ. But for now, Jesus is using the death of Lazarus. He's using it for three purposes. And that's my points today. Number one, it points to his deity. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, God is jealous for his glory, so much so that he wants all things to magnify his glory. We have only to look back in the book of Psalms for an example of this. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Creation cries out for the glory of God. If indeed God wants us to proclaim his glory, then surely Jesus is God, as we are told in verse 4 of our text, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. So if God demands his glory, the heavens declare it, we are to give it, and now Jesus, the Son of God, will be glorified through this Lazarus experience. It puts Jesus equal with God. He is the Son of God, and he is God. The raising of Lazarus helps to solidify this, that Jesus' claim of the Son of God is worthy of that same glory. If we look forward to Jesus' own words after his resurrection, we are reminded of his worthiness. The Gospel of Matthew states in the Great Commission, chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, this is after his resurrection, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. God granted his Son the authority to speak for God as God. We try to reconcile that in our minds, and sometimes it's hard for us to even fathom what that means. We see the Trinity so clearly defined between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus truly is God and worthy of the glory of the Father. So number one, it points to the deity of Jesus. Number two, the second purpose for Jesus raising Lazarus is to strengthen the faith and the resolve of the disciples. Let's return back to the text, starting in verse 7. After Christ delayed returning to a sick Lazarus, we read, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Well, as we continue here, you're going to see that they say, Rabbi, the Jews were just seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? If you look back in the chapters previous, you would see where the Jews wanted to stone Jesus, and they had escaped because it wasn't time for him to be given over. The Jews saw Jesus as somebody who would take away their power. They didn't realize this was the God of heaven that they supposedly were worshiping. It says, Jesus says, if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. The disciples maybe were like us, a little slow to catch on. Jesus was referring to his earthly ministry. It wasn't complete. It wasn't at an end. There was still daylight of his ministry. He was still to do that. He was not concerned over the Jews catching him in Jerusalem again. He was concerned with doing the will of the Father who sent him. Christ also tries to tell the disciples that Lazarus is asleep. He said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. They saw him do so many miracles. Put yourself in their position. They were with him. They're following him. They're hanging on his words, his teaching. But now when he says it, they take it literally. Oh, he's asleep. Well, then he'll wake up. He'll recover. They did not understand what God was going to do through his son. So Jesus says it plainly. That's what verse 14 said. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. It's almost like that knock on the head moment. Lazarus has died. He's dead. And for your sakes, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. You think about that. Can you imagine having that being stated? Okay, wait a minute. First of all, I got to understand, Lazarus, he's died. And you're glad for our sakes that... But they weren't getting it. They weren't understanding. But that's what God had Jesus to do. God has dominion over death. He was showing through his son that Jesus Christ has dominion over death. Preparing them for the cross that was to come. Preparing them to recognize, now I get it. That's where we are in our lives at times. We say, boy, now I get it. But that's God working in us. The now I get it time in our life is God quickening our hearts, making us to see that his son is the only way to salvation. Jesus was preparing the disciples for the early church. He was trying to teach them all these things so that they'd be prepared to give it to others and to teach others. We just finished with the series this past winter in the book of Acts, all about the local church, all about us as a church, the church that we still carry on today until Christ returns. So that was the second purpose for the edifying or the strengthening of the faith of the disciples. And the third purpose for raising Lazarus from the dead is to lead directly to the cross. As I said, Jesus is now in the last days of his ministry. He knows that his days are short on earth. He'll be arrested. He'll be falsely charged. And ultimately, he'll be crucified. By God's divine plan, he is showing his power through his son. Chapter 12 of John states, in verse 23, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The glimpse of his being glorified through raising Lazarus leaves no doubt as to his rightful authority to complete the Father's will as our sacrifice. So how does this account of Jesus' life and power, even over death, how does that relate to what you and I face each day? Well, let me try to explain what I learned as I studied this text. I'm going to read the last portion of our text, verse 38 to the end. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. I want you to remember that this is an actual account. This is what happened during the life of Christ. John recorded this in a manner that we can, as mankind, understand exactly what that moment would be like. Now put yourself in that position. whether you're a disciple, you're one of the Jews that are mourning with Mary and Martha, or you're Mary or you're Martha, you're there. They went out to meet Jesus outside of Bethany. And first of all, both Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you had only been here, he would not have died. Their faith was that great that he could have saved them. How much more to show his power, even over death, that he was able to do this. So you're there. You're one of the onlookers. You're seeing this. And you're kind of watching and you're wondering. And, you know, maybe you didn't fully understand what was going on either. And then the commandment comes from Jesus. And he says, hey, take away that stone. Remove that stone from there. The horror of that, the practical part of decomposing flesh. 4 days, they didn't do any embalming. The Jews didn't do any embalming back then. They put the body in the grave, and for 4 days, this body was dead. So that horror, the thought of Martha even saying, Lord, by this time, there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. So you're one of those that are standing around, you're thinking, she's right, I don't know about this. And then watching Jesus speak to his Father in such a way that we can understand that he is the Son of God. And, oh, by the way, did you notice in the passage when Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? Kind of a rebuke to them. Did I not tell you this? So they took the stone away. Okay, here we go. We're all standing around. We're watching to see what God is doing. And then just a powerful way that Jesus speaks to his Heavenly Father. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now he knows, as he says in the next sentence, I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, on account of us standing around watching, that they may believe that you sent me. So here he is, the Son of God. All the power, all the authority, all the majesty, and all the deserving of the glory in human flesh, meeting with other humans, just like you and I, saying that, take that stone away. I am going to show you the glory of God right now. Here we are. We're ready to experience this. But we're not sure what that means. So Jesus cries out to his Father, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And then he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I've heard other preachers talk about this, that it was so directed at Lazarus that, because God has the power to raise up anyone. He raises us up out of our deadness of sin. The proclamation was there for this moment, for those onlookers, for us as we read it, to see God's power saying, Lazarus, come out. Everyone there that was human being knew that, I don't know if this is a good idea. And yet God used this as a means of glorifying himself, because no man could ever do what Jesus was doing right now. No man could ever do what Jesus did for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. No man could do that, but God can. The disciples have just witnessed God's glory through his Son. Lazarus comes forth, and Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. When our hearts are moved by the Holy Spirit, it's God saying, unbind him and let him go from the sin that traps you. Unbind him from that. He has the power to do that. Nobody here does. None of the onlookers there did. Through this story, we have just witnessed God's glory through His Son. Through this story, we have witnessed the example of how Jesus Christ did this for us through His death. Jesus proved to His disciples and to us that He is worthy of God's glory, that He is more powerful than our greatest fear of death. And His love for us is displayed by His love for Lazarus. We know that Lazarus was loved by Jesus. Mary and Martha knew that. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we know that God loves us. And we know that it's only through His work in our life that we are able to be unbound and let go from our sin. So when you see "this do in remembrance of me," this do in remembrance of Christ. Everything we experience, everything we do should be with this in mind, is to bring God the glory, to show the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We should do that with our lives. Whatever our life path is, God is to be glorified. He is jealous for His glory, but He alone is worthy of that glory. Let's pray. Father, we humbly thank You for Your word. We thank You for this narrative that John tells us, that we see the beauty of Your Son. We see the power of Your Son, and we see You glorifying Your Son through conquering death. As we see Lazarus being raised from the dead, we thank You for raising our dead, undeserving souls through the shed blood of Your Son. And Lord, as we see this, help us to give You the glory, for it is apart from us that we could ever achieve this, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let us boast only in the cross. And in Jesus' name, who we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing. In